Good morning, everyone. Mike Brendhug, the Focus Guy, and welcome to the Focus Radio Show, where we bring you authors, speakers, and thought leaders to share their experience, their expertise to help you increase your sales and grow your business. I have an awesome guest this morning that I'm excited to have her on the show. The title of her book is Accelerate Your Mojo. And if you're an entrepreneur or business owner or a leader, you know the importance of accelerating your mojo. I mean, that's what it's about. You have to not only have the energy, the confidence, the swagger, everything that goes into really building your mojo. And I'm excited to learn more from our guest. So let me introduce our guest, Allison Sutter. She is not just an author, but she has a master in education, is a best-selling author and contemporary spiritual teacher. She is well known for her ability to seamlessly blend spirituality, practical self-help information, making it relevant to your daily life. And I think that's something that we're all looking for is, you know, how do we blend that? Her book, Accelerate Your Mojo, 7 Steps to Ignite Your Intuition, Shake Off Fear, and Unleash the Real You. So, Allison, welcome to the Focus Radio Show. I'm honored to have you as a guest on our show and excited to learn more about you and your book, Accelerate Your Mojo. So, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes. So, you have a couple of books, it sounds like, out there. What prompted you to write Accelerate Your Mojo?
Well, this book is actually spawned off of the work I was doing before. I was in personal development and working with somebody okay. who's really, really well known. And what I did is I decided I wanted to do something more spiritual based on my own life experiences, okay. not just, you know, the traditional personal development type coaching, mm-hmm. but I wanted to take it to a spiritual level. So I branched off from there and based on my own life experience, decided to merge these two concepts, which are spirituality and practicality, this practical stuff that we're all looking for. And so how do we do that? Because spirituality can get kind of woo-woo. It can get out there right. and ungrounded, right? It can mm-hmm. be flyaway stuff where you don't like, what do you do with this?
Right.
You know, so I found a way to kind of make it more practical, you know, as business owners, as parents, as people in relationships, you know, what do we do with it? You know, how do we mm-hmm. make it real? So that's what I did.
So let me ask you this, because you just hit on something that really, now my work, I mostly work with business owners, entrepreneurs, sales professionals, the gals and guys that are out there in the trenches trying to make it happen. And oftentimes there's, as you know, as a coach, a lot of pride, a lot of ego, and trying to touch on some of the spiritual stuff does seem kind of soft or not relevant in what they're doing for business. How are you bringing the two together so that they can leverage that and really tap into what you're talking about, you know, the mojo?
Well, part of what... Well, unleash your real self means you're a spiritual being, right? Mm-hmm. This is a conversation where somebody has to have some level of interest or ability to have an open mind to who we really are. We're really spiritual beings having a physical experience. So if you try to pull that out of the recipe, you've missed, you know, half the program, really. Mm-hmm. So, and when I mean spiritual being, I mean somebody who is a non-physically focused being who has a vibration, and that vibration is made present through all of these different sensations you have. So a business owner has, you know, a bazillion different emotional, contextual experiences in any given day. And those are conversations with your real self. So learning to decode that can help you be better in every interaction, whether you're facing the business door or the relationship door. Really, it's you walking through this life experience, and whether you call yourself business owner or parent, or, you know, husband or wife, the core aspect of you is you pointing you at these different, you know, windows or doorways. And so if you don't understand you, you're kind of missing the boat. You're missing an opportunity to really take into play an understanding of how to get calm in a situation that could be panic stricken, you know, and you can talk about right. that with any doorway, right?
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, and I know that there's a number of things we're going to get into here, so I don't want to jump the gun too much. So I want to back up just a little bit here and talk about before we dive into that, because I have a question about that, and specifically to kind of set it up here, Allison, giving us some kind of tip or tool for those business owners, for the people that are out there that are in the trenches and just trying hard, trying to build their business based upon more of a logical approach and less spiritual approach. How can we tap into that? But before you answer that, I want to back up to something, and that is accelerate your mojo, because I know you have a process, but can you give us kind of the core, the root definition of accelerating mojo, and what does all that mean, and how you've pulled it together in your book to really help people accelerate their mojo?
Well, thanks for asking that, because everybody defines words slightly differently. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's important to understand what the person who's defining these is actually talking about. So to me, accelerate means to realize sooner. It doesn't mean add more to your to-do list, try to shove more stuff on your own plate, get more panicked, you know, all the things that business owners tend to want to do, like, mm-hmm. oh, I have to do more in order to get more, right? That's not my process. My process is to realize something through your own altered perception, meaning shift your mindset, shift your inner world, which alters your ability to see the solution faster. And then mojo, to me, I'm defining it, is this connection to who you really are, which is this non-physical consciousness, if you will. And so using this connection with who you really are, you can utilize that to better facilitate solution-oriented conversations, inspired actions. So using these two, it's like sort of like the practical and the spiritual, you know, grounded, and how do you use this sort of flyaway concept and mix them? But it's changing your perspective, your perception, through altering your inner world will directly affect your outer world.
Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree with that. And for those of you that are listening out there, I hope you caught what Allison stated about the mojo, because it really is, you know, tapping into, you know, a whole nother world, and not just adding more on top of your overloaded plate right now that you probably feel, but it is really focusing on those key things that will allow you to accelerate your business, or to accelerate the goals that you want to achieve in your life if you're someone pursuing goals and outside of business. It's not necessarily adding more to your plate, as Allison was mentioning. So I'm glad that you clarified that for us and for the listeners, Allison, because that is extremely important. I find it, and part of the reason I talk about, I love the word focus, as you know, being here on the Focus Radio and being the focus guy. I think that the reason I emphasize focus is for the business owner, really for anyone out there, the ability to focus on those things that are the most important that will get you the greatest results is really key. And you really touched on that with accelerating, is not adding more stuff to your plate. It's really gaining additional insight to and tapping into your spirituality and those things that are most important that will allow you to accelerate your results. So,
yeah. Yeah, my first book was called The Power of Focused Attention, and one of my steps is focused attention. And how do you differentiate or dive more specifically into the concept of focused attention? So,
excellent. We're going to have you back on the show to talk about that. I'd love to talk about that as well. So, okay. So let's, as we're talking about Accelerate Your Mojo, share with us and share for the listeners, and for those that may just be joining here, we're speaking with Allison Sutter. She is author of Accelerate Your Mojo. And share with us where the listeners can find your book, Allison.
Well, they'll be able to find it on my website, you know, www.living360coaching.com. And they'll also be able to find it on Amazon. It is in the very end part of the editing, so I anticipate publication in the next month, two, three at the most.
Okay. Okay.
So
excellent. And you know, for those that may be listening, so we happen to be in February 20th of 2017. So if you're listening after that, a couple months, just know that it's readily available right now. Mm-hmm. if you're listening to that. And for those listening, for my listeners, we always place our authors. We have a page on thefocusguy.com. You'll be able to find Allison's information, her photo, her bio, and cover image of the book, along with link to her website where you can purchase the book as well. So let's dive back in here, Allison, and talk more about Accelerate Your Mojo. So who is this book designed for? Because there's such a broad audience where I can see Accelerating Your Mojo, where it has a place, but is there a specific audience that you really targeted with this book?
Absolutely. And as an educator, one of the things that I take very, very seriously is not wasting a person's time. Mm-hmm. So what I did in this book is I made a specific self-assessment checklist about who this book is for. I'll just read you like
sure.
four or five of them so that people can self-identify. So it's somebody who wants to get to the root cause of emotional discomfort. Like if you've got some, you know, it feels like fear and doubt are stopping you or, you know, putting you on pause from having the kind of experiences you want, it's for you. Somebody who struggles with making decisions, whether there's an inability to make them or a pause in making them because they don't think they're making the right choice. Mm-hmm. Somebody who has strong thoughts of self-doubt, anxiety, or unworthiness. Somebody who says, why does this keep happening to me? I'm a kind, positive person, right? Or this is big for not only business owners, but just humans in general. The unknown aspect of new experiences makes me uncomfortable. Like if you think you have to know how everything's going to happen and it makes you anxious, bingo, it's for you. So there's just a few.
Yeah. Well, I think those are great, you know, a kind of assessment checklist for those that are listening. Definitely check that out. And I can tell you that as a coach myself, that and many of people that I'm thinking of right now that that fall into the sales, leaders, business owners, and entrepreneurs, all of those things you have experienced. And if you haven't experienced, you're probably not pushing yourself to the limits because it's very natural. And these are great tips to help you get through and kind of bust through those barriers. And, you know, I look at it, those points that you shared, Allison, you know, some of the things that I cover with my clients is really developing a plan. And I'm sure you talk about this in your book in order to, you know, I guess, feel or gain greater control, overcome the fear of unknown, you have to have some type of a plan, because if you're just kind of drifting without a plan, you can't make those good decisions or you're going to feel uncomfortable, right? So do you tap into any type of building a plan or trying to really bring in the known to overcome the fear of the unknown?
Well, mine is not like any others. I'll tell you that right now, because one of the things that the cover says is ignite intuition. So I've got seven steps. There is only one step, and it's inspired action, which is very, very different from what I'm calling regular action. Mm-hmm. So what I'm teaching people to do is let go of what you think is supposed to happen. Now, the plan grabs onto what you think. Like, it has to happen like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to engage a little bit more of the intuitive aspect, because when you engage your intuitive aspect and you understand this relationship between you, the physical, and you, the non-physical, what you begin to understand is it is an accelerated rate to your outcome, to the thing that you're asking to experience, more so than getting on the intellectual side. Like, we're all very good at that. Everybody mm-hmm. knows how to weigh on the intellectual. Very few people know how to harness the intuitive aspect and blend those two so that you can get to your end point sooner than you would have otherwise. Does that make sense?
I absolutely does, and I love it, and I want to hear more about it.
Okay, so which part? Do you want to talk about inspired action?
Inspired action, but I know that you have some steps that you talk about
yes.
in your process. Kind of walk us through,
okay.
because it is different. You know, there's many coaches out there and consultants and processes, and we do all kind of fall in where it's more of that practical or logical process, right?
Yes.
And so I definitely want to hear more about, you know, your process and how to tap into that is the non-practical, I guess.
Okay, so here's where I differ. I come from an education background. Mm-hmm. My background, having been in education, I now know that just being standing here as the expert and going, do this, doesn't work. It doesn't work in education, and it doesn't work as effectively elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So my book is all about getting students to harness the power that already exists within them, to get the internal organization that already exists and pull it out. So what I ask them to do is be their own expert. So for the steps, what I did is the first step is to ask for what you want. Okay, so that's very simple. Some people call it goal setting, but I'm trying to go away from the word goal because it can be it can be really loaded for people. There's a lot of connotation. There's a lot of stress. There's, you know, so I'm just like, let's just ask for what you want. But the second part of that goes into the spiritual, not physical aspect, that you have to understand it becomes a virtual reality immediately. So you've asked for it. It's become a reality. Now begins the journey to the realization of it. So that's step two, and understanding that desire is extremely potent fuel. But here's the deal. If you listen to traditional pop songs, you think desire is painful. You think it's supposed to hurt to want this thing that you want, right? Lover left me, the blah, 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 you know. All the things that tell us that wanting what you want is supposed to be painful. It's not. It's supposed to feel good. So reorganizing yourself, because most people go, oh, I'd like to have X, Y, Z, and then they feel bad. No. It's supposed to feel good, because that is the accelerated part of you. Because when you're excited, you don't need to be motivated. You get all the inspiration and all the motivation, and all the guidance and all the connections you need when you vibrate with excitement versus fear, right? Okay.
So
So step three is your beliefs must be analyzed in the most literal, logic way. When you begin to dive into this, you realize that your beliefs create the fabric of your reality. There is a lot of belief and limitation. They ask for what they want and they go, I can never have it. There's a literal belief that I'm not worthy, that the resources don't exist for me, that I'm not good enough, that I have to, you know, go back to graduate school to be good. And like all of these beliefs that become a burden and a hurdle that you think you have to cross, when you change the beliefs, a whole world opens up to you. Different world.
And you have a technique in your book to allow people to kind of break through that or guide them through on how to change their beliefs?
I do. It's a big one though, because it's called You Don't Actually Have Subconscious Beliefs.
Okay.
You don't. That is I go into that very deeply in my book, but when you understand that beliefs create, I think it was Napoleon Hill who said beliefs create, or one of the big ones said something like beliefs create the fact, right? This isn't just external, this is internal. So I'm unraveling hundreds. I'm going big here. Like, I am the only one in the universe saying this right now. But it is not something that, like, if you believe in subconscious beliefs, you're going to argue till your head is blue, right? You're not going to let this settle. But you don't actually have subconscious beliefs, because if a belief has an emotion activated, it's not subconscious. If you have a feeling associated with it, you're probably just really good at ignoring the feeling, telling yourself it's subconscious. But if it's unconscious, then, you know, your heart beating, no big deal. You don't have to think about that. But there, right. I'm eliminating the gray zone, which is a really big, big, big conversation.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I love it, because one, I'm open-minded to all this, and there are a number of things within the self-help world that I've kind of challenged. And, you know, one of the things for me, and I'm sure many other motivational speakers, I'm not a motivational speaker at all. In fact, I cringe when I hear that word motivation, because when you think about it, when somebody goes to a seminar to get motivated, it to me, it's like a drug. It's temporary. It wears off. What you're talking about, and what I love what you're talking about here, Allison, it's about really discovering that internal fuel, so somebody can continue to be motivated. They're tapping into their own inner strength and their spirituality to do that. And so I'm a big fan of that. And I think there is a lot of, over the years, there's a number of things that, or myths or beliefs that, I don't know. I don't know if they're not relevant, or if maybe we've just grown so much within the self-help world that we've discovered different ways, to tap into that. And so I'm totally open to what you're saying here, and I can't wait to read your book.
Yeah, well, there's actually, I wrote a chapter for one of the other motivational press books that just came out. It's called The Motivational Mechanism, and I talk about how you can't actually motivate anybody. This is an internal job. Motivation is an internal job.
I agree 100%. Absolutely. I love it. So what's some of the next steps or tips that you want to share with us? We have very limited time here, but we do want to give our listeners an idea of what this book is about, because we do, if you're listening out there, this is really good stuff, because when you can realize what Allison just said, motivation is an internal job. You've got to motivate yourself. It's kind of like happiness. Nobody else is going to make you happy. You have to find your own happiness. And same with motivation. So what are some of the next steps, Allison, or key things in your book that you want to share with our listeners?
Okay. The fourth step is allow. So there's a vibrational difference between resisting what you want and allowing what you want. So it's all laid out in the book, but there's a distinct difference. Most people are actually resisting vibrationally, internally, the idea of what they asked for in step one. So you have to know the difference, and you have to move into a mindset and a body set of allowing the good to come to you instead of thinking you need to work your knuckles to the bone for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. It's a very different mindset. So the fifth one is focus of attention. It is literally the thing that creates your world in terms of where you're focusing. But there's not just, a lot of people do mental focus. There's an emotional focus as well. So it's this two-tiered kind of conversation. And then it leads into step six, which is inspired action. So I'm defining the difference. Action is the thing you think you should do. The thing everybody else tells you you should do, versus inspired action comes from this internal mechanism of connecting with your highest level of excitement. You're automatically inspired into action. You don't need to be motivated. It is a natural byproduct of hooking into all of these steps. Action become, like, I've become more action oriented since I started doing my own steps than I ever was, because I was trying to force things to happen. Mm-hmm. Do them in a way I thought they were supposed to be done. So inspired action is an action that starts within and then comes without, where your body moves into, motion type of thing. And the last one's detached optimism, because this is the paradox of manifestation. You've got to focus with excitement, but then you got to let it go, because the human mind can literally not create the scenario of the unknown. You've got to know that the thing coming to you that you've asked for, whether it's a goal or just a desire or something, you literally cannot. I don't care how many mind movies you put on the screen of your computer and how many visualizations you do. You cannot, by virtue of how we're designed, know what the final thing looks like, right? That's what messes up people more than anything. They're like, I didn't think it was supposed to be like that. No kidding, because you're not designed to have an image of what the unknown looks like. It's called the unknown for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and as you move closer to the unknown, or as you get closer with the unknown, things come into view and you're adapting and changing, right?
Yes.
Along the way, which is why that initial vision or picture may change. It's not going to look the same. Is what you initially, envisioned it.
No, and when you have detached optimism the whole way through, you don't get stuck. Stuck is a vibration of thinking you have to know what it's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. You know that you're just going moment by moment by moment, working through and adjusting depending on what shows up. Then you're not stressed out. Then you're not yelling at your employees. Then you're not freaking out because you can't see how you're going to get to the goal.
Mm-hmm. So I love it. So let me ask you this. Here's one of the things that I talk with many of my clients about. And for those that are listening, you might be there right now. There's a lot with sales professionals, entrepreneurs, and business owners. We get caught up in this excitement, this optimism, and there's a tendency to bypass what I call some of the critical stages, which is really the planning, really trying to look towards the future and say, and developing a path on how to get there. And by doing so, there's a lot of action without a plan because they're so caught up in this excitement of the, either this new business or a new product or service or whatever it may be. Do you talk about in your book on how to, I guess, bring that into reality or to create awareness around that optimism so that somebody can think intelligently and make better decisions?
Yes and no. So there's a difference between excitement and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people confuse the two. They don't really know which one they're in, and they may be making decisions based on anxiety instead of authentic excitement. Mm. So there are a bazillion books out there on how to make a plan. I'm not your plan girl. What I am is I bring it down to a day-to-day, moment-by-moment scenario. If you've got a list of 10 things that you would like to do to put your business in play, like you have to do this when you write a book, right? I had like a you know, 10 things that I needed right. to do. Which step of these 10 things is the best step for me to take now is based on this connection with what feels the best to you. So your plan guy has helped you make your plan. And I'm saying within that plan, how do you know? Because there's going to be 20 people telling you to do 20 different things first.
Right.
It's just the nature of the beast. I posted something on Facebook about how to clear up an audio issue. I got 25 posts and 25 different answers. How do you know? How do you know what to do? Well, you have to be centered within yourself. Mm-hmm. Be confident enough within yourself to know how to connect with your intuition and know what is the next best step for me right now, today. That's my gig.
Okay, and that's what your book is about. Accelerate your mojo. Allow somebody to tap into that. So I love it. So again, for those listening, our guest is Allison Sutter. She is the author of Accelerate Your Mojo, 7 Steps to Ignite Your Intuition, Shake Off Fear, and Unleash the Real You. And so Allison, with that, you have the 7 steps. You've shared with us a few. What can somebody expect just as we start to kind of, you know, wrap things up? I buy the book, I read the book. What can a reader expect to get from the book?
A totally different perspective. This is, okay. I do not regurgitate all the stuff that's out there. This is totally something different. They're going to learn how to reconnect with themselves and live life from their own intuitive guidance out, literally. Like, I am not your guru. That's not me. What I do is teach students to go within, organize and structure and identify and know themselves for who they are, and then use that alignment with who you really are to then go forth into the world and make your best life.
Love it. Absolutely love that. And for those that are listening out there, what Allison is talking about, these are the type of things that definitely I can tell you from coaching many others that will allow you to accelerate your mojo and everything that you're doing is you're striving out there to reach your goals, increase your sales, grow your business, become a better leader, being open-minded to different approaches and processes and ideas that Allison has shared with us is critical. Allison, truly, I'm looking forward to reading the book because when you read, you know, and in our world, not only as an author, but in the self-help world and in the business world, you have to read, in my opinion. You're constantly reading various books from process to, you know, goal setting to motivation, whatever it may be, and just different ideas. And so your book, you know, the reason I'm excited about it, I think it brings a fresh perspective. And I like the idea that you're kind of challenging the traditional self-help processes out there. And I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be awesome.
And, oh, yeah. I'm challenging, all right.
I love it. And we're going to have you back on the show, you know, maybe you probably about 6 months down the road after your book has been out there and you've had a chance to, you know, get some feedback and allow readers to really understand it and put it to work. I would love to have you back on the show and also maybe a couple people that have read the book.
Sure.
I think that will be fun because you're really touching on something that I just think is wonderful. And, you know, again, I can't tell you how much I'm excited to read your book. And for those of you that are listening out there, again, Allison's information, it will be on thefocusguy.com. So you can find her information, her website, her bio, information on her book, everything out there that on Allison will be on thefocusguy.com. So you can easily access it there.